This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3006 for Monday, the 10th of February 2020. Today's show is entitled, Hijack or Auxiliary Input of Your Car. Quote, it is hosted by Operator, and is about 36 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, I talk about my Q40 and getting auxiliary input when your car does not have one.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Headed to the office here, probably going to be sitting in some traffic, and I figured I would do a quick episode on my audio setup here for my Infiniti Q40. Now, basically I'm going to go over how to set up and troubleshoot and figure out wires and what they're doing and how they work inside of a car or in general electrical terms. Like I said, I'm not any good at any of this, but I'll fumble my way through it. And that's what the story is. So it's a story of troubleshooting and figuring things out, and that's what hacking's all about. So first thing first, this all got brought about. I bought a 2015 Q40 base model, no nav is what they call it, and it has no navigation system. It has a LCD or a little screen here, some touch stuff, but the only thing it has is a Bluetooth calling, which is separate than Bluetooth audio. And I think the audio quality is obviously worse than even Bluetooth. So there's a couple of different kinds of Bluetooth that I know of. So there's one that's just like Bluetooth for your calls, which is like mono, really bad quality, like maybe it might be 50 kilobits or less. Sounds awful. You can listen to like podcasts and things like that over it, and that's what I'll go over shortly. And then there's Bluetooth audio, which most people won't tell the difference between Bluetooth audio and a regular, you know, auxiliary port or a standard in, but there is a difference, and you'll notice, especially with these newer cars, they have better audio systems. You'll notice that Bluetooth tends to kind of sound cooked a little bit, and depending on what car you have and what the system is and all the settings on your phone and all that stuff. But in general, it's going to sound a little bit cooked. Bluetooth audio quality, despite what people think, is not that good either. So my car, unfortunately, doesn't have any auxiliary input. It has a USB Apple ready shenanigans input. And I might have done an episode on this already, but it basically has USB for a external device, mass storage device, and it can read MP3s off of there, and it sort of kind of crashes sometimes if it's got malformed data in it or something like that. And that worked for a little while, and then you get bored of the same 10 songs on there, and then if you get too big of a stick in there, it doesn't want to like search very well, and it kind of craps out if you put like anything bigger than like an 8 gig or 16 in there. So did that for a while and kept searching, and eventually I found a now my car is a weird model. It's a base Q40. It's kind of like Q50. It's kind of like the G37. Despite all this, it's very weird and hard to find information about my car. It might be like one or the other, but I don't know because it's not my car, or I'm not into all this car stuff, so I don't know which is what and what model goes with what. So if I need to know what model goes with what, I have to take the thing apart, look up the model, and figure it out. And what I found out later is that you want to find your car's not owner's manual, but you want to find the, I think they call it factory FSU, factory service manual, or the actual service manual, the factory manual, which is, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages. So anyways, that's what you need to do any real troubleshooting with your actual vehicle. The user manual is just garbage. Throw it in the trash. Doesn't help anybody. So let's get through it. So I'm having issues. I don't like the USB. I look online and I go and I ask around. And I can't find anything. And I do post online. If you Google Q40 and like audio, my post comes up first. Like, I'm the only person that has this car that has this problem. And there's a couple other people that have a no nav system. I think a G37 might have a base model that has the same kind of issue. But it's just kind of ridiculous, right? So I search and search and search. Eventually I find this thing called a Wirelink, and it's spelled funny. And I may have done an episode on this, but I'll post the link to my giant forum post about all this crap. But it's a Wirelink. It basically fools the computer in the car to think that it's an Apple device, and it's very clunky, and it's got software, and it worked for about 3-4 years, I want to say 5 years. I've had this since 2000 something, if it's 2015. Anyways, it worked for a while, and it takes like 10 minutes to set up. So if I'm going somewhere 15 minutes down the street, I don't even bother messing with it. And it got to the point where, you know, people would complain, my wife would complain, and I would try to be futzing with it. And then, you know, you're trying to drive the car, you're not supposed to mess with your phone anyways. So I went back and forth, and I had this whole routine, you know, where I had to turn the, you know, stereo off and turn it back on, and it just very clunky. So I revisited the issue this past couple of weeks, kept searching, couldn't find any options. I ordered a harness kit that was supposed to be, what I thought was a harness kit to get auxiliary input for my car. Of course, it came, and it was only for, like, model 2011. And down. All the other stuff is for like older stuff. People don't care about car audio like they did before. There's not a big aftermarket head unit space anymore. And I don't know if it's just because of my Q40, and that's why. And maybe I need to search for like G37 2015 or 13. But anyways, there's just not a big market for at least my car or that stereo stuff anymore, and kids don't care about driving, much less putting audio stuff in their car anymore. So really, I messed with that. So I revisited it, I kept looking. I saw some instances where people were taking the CD audio out, and if I remember, I'll post the link. Actually, that's all in the forum. This one dude like tears apart the radio. He tells you, you know, here's the circuits for this, here's how the FM transmitter works, here's how you hack into it. And of course, the FM transmitter was like, not stereo. Somehow he was jacking into the mono feed that came in through the FM transmitter, even though it was like a digital signal or something. I don't know. But I heard the word mono and I was like, okay, I definitely don't want to take my stereo apart, much less jack in all that, just to jack into a mono channel. Then I saw him talking about the CD port and jacking into the CD port, and I want to say that was stereo, but I'm not 100% sure. I think in the video he did mono to his radio. Anyways, so he's showing us all this cool stuff and all this soldering, and I really don't want to do that. I'd rather steal audio from somewhere else. So there's audio input from the Bluetooth. There's audio input from the XM, which I have an XM here, which I don't use. There's CD input, and there's probably an auxiliary input that I don't even know about, which I could probably look at my service manual now and find it and just jack into that instead of doing what I did. Anyways, this all is around hijacking the XM inputs and troubleshooting and figuring out how that works and wiring it up to a auxiliary input for your car. And I saw like one video about this, a guy in a truck, you know, he pops down his glove box and looks in there, and there's a box and it's a satellite radio. And he proceeds to, you know, pull the jumpers off or whatever and wire up auxiliary input and whatever. So I'm looking at my dashboard. I don't see anything. I'm looking under the dash. Don't see anything. I look around online. Of course, there's nothing on the internet about my car. I actually looked in behind the glove box. Didn't see anything. And eventually I kept poking around and found out that it was in my trunk. And I said, okay, here it is, this box in my trunk, this has to be it, whatever. So then I proceed to try to figure out what wire is what's coming in, what's coming out, how is it working, how is it getting the signal, is it like an audio input, or is it like a straight up, you know, four wire stereo or four wire speaker input, whatever. So I start taking that all apart. I think I start with my dash. I take apart the front and I take that all apart, pull out the stereo, and I see all these harness cables and stuff, and it's all plug in digital, big mess. Go through all that, and I still can't find the satellite radio. I was assuming it was going to be towards the front of the car, so kept looking, and eventually I found a forum post, somebody talking about it being in their trunk and having to wire. They ran auxiliary wire to their trunk and then back or whatever. I don't know why, but they did it that way. So I looked at my trunk and I see that. I pop it open. I take everything apart and I pull this, unplug this box. And I have my satellite on the whole time. And I unplug this box and I'm expecting the satellite to drop out. I'm like, man, wow, well, I've completely unplugged this box and the satellite is still working. What the hell? Where the hell is the fucking satellite? So, eventually figure out that under that box, or on top of that box that I just unplugged, is another box. And that box, apparently, was the satellite box. So, just by unplugging it while it's on, and realizing that, you know, there's two boxes plugged into the trunk, I said, okay, well, what is this box? We look online, look at the bottom number, and it says, like, NAVA unit or something, like a... something weird, like Journey computer or some shit. And I'm like, what is that? Finally, I see the word Bluetooth, and I say, oh, okay. So the Bluetooth computer module and all that crap is also in the trunk, and this other box above it is the satellite radio. I say, okay, so I've got the satellite radio unplugged. Now, what do I do? How do I figure this out? Okay, well, let me find the pinout for my satellite radio. Nothing. Let me try to find the pinout for this stereo. Nothing. I can't Google anything. I can't find it. I see people posting, you know, pinouts for different stereos, things like that, but I can't find the pinouts for my, you know, the manufacturer's pinouts for the whatever. Later, I realize that it's all in, like, the service manual, the factory manual. But anyways, I don't know any of this because I'm not into the whole car scene. So, I'm getting wires out. I'm trying to take the harness apart and trying to pull apart the wires from the harness so that I can tap the wires. Generally speaking, the easier way to do it is just you can get very tiny alligator clips that are like squishy, almost like needle alligator clips. It's just a piece of wire for the male ends. And for the female ends, you can shove a paper clip in there and be careful not to short anything out, whatever. And you can trace the wires that way. To do continuity tests over long distances, you can just get a long wire, like a speaker wire or something like that, and then put alligator clips at both end of those, and you can do continuity tests over long distances, meaning if you're trying to trace a wire and you don't have a cable tracer or anything like that, that's the cheap way to do the wire tracing. If you don't have a tone generator, definitely you want to try to get one. Let me get off and exit here. You definitely want to try to get a tone generator if you are doing any kind of electronics and wiring outside of like small electronics. So I plug the tone generator onto the one of the ends of the to a paperclip onto the female end of the satellite radio. Set the tone generator on that, and then I find the one of the cables, at least one of the wires, at least going to the back. And I think I kind of left it at that. And I said, this is probably where my input is. I doubt that the, you know, the power is different. You know, the power is different from the, or the signal. Usually you have a remote that's to turn on and off the system for a device. So you have a remote generally, and then you have like plus and minus or line in, and then you have, or you have like four speaker wires. So I assume that this is the right harness wire, the right harness wire thing. So I proceed to kind of unplug everything from the stereo, start trying to trace the wires, and in some of these little harness plugs, you can delicately, ever so delicately, take them apart a little bit, and so you can pull the individual pins out of them without too much worry or problems. And this allows you to jack in and like trace the wires, or what I did is I started unplugging cables until I found that I lost audio. So I managed to find, through this unplugging and plugging things in, I managed to find the left and right cables, the left and right plus minus, and but I didn't know which side was plus and which side was minus. I just unplugged the cable and I lost signal. So there's probably a way with like an ohms meter to check, you know, the input coming into the back of the stereo to see like if that's, which side is plus and which side is minus, but I couldn't get anybody to explain that to me. So I knew that I had ground because I took the continuity tester and put it on ground, and I found two ground wires. I was like, okay, so I've got two grounds and two negatives somewhere, and which I know of two wires, and I've got a black and white wire that I know are the left side, and I've got a green and red wire that I know are the right side, but I don't know which is plus or minus, and I don't know where to put four wires when you're trying to set up an auxiliary input, which is a standard stereo three-wire plug. So I start looking at stuff, and actually a coworker mentions Biamp, and I did some Googling on Biamp, and I saw a different multitude of other different types of connections for audio. And what I ran into was this, the auxiliary goes, the tip of the auxiliary, a 3.5 millimeter jack. The tip is the tip, obviously, which is the left side. And the middle is the right side. And the bottom is the ground, or the shield. So, or tip is the top. The middle is ring, or right. L is the left channel, is the top or the tip. And then the ground is the bottom, which is the shield or sheath or whatever they call it. And that's where your ground is. So look. And what I come to gather is that the negative side always just goes to the ground, and then the positive side goes to the top left. So for example, the tip was the left side, and then the right side plus is supposed to go to the middle, which is the ring. So Googling around, and I had like a little really crappy auxiliary cable. So I wired that up, and I took both inputs. I pulled out the actual clip thing, delicately pulled out the wire from the harness, wrapped wire around one of the inputs, and I got audio, and it was all cracked up because it was split between the satellite and my input, so it was all screwy and sounded funny. It was basically two inputs in one place. So I knew I was onto something, but I still had the question of what is plus and minus. So kept trying to futz with it. I asked online, couldn't really get anybody to respond. And finally, I couldn't really find anything. So finally I made a post online at, like, I think it's my G37, or there's another one that's called whatever. And that's on the forum post. And one of the guys, luckily for me, was paying attention and found the page of my manual where that pinout was and posted the link to all the manuals for that entire thing, the field manuals or whatever. And he posted and circled for me and everything. The left side, the right side, the plus and minus. I already knew what the ground was. And he's like, dude, look at your manual. Dude, it's not that hard type of thing. So I didn't know that information, that highly detailed information about how the wiring of the car is set up would be in there. Like at the harness level, I had no idea that would be in any kind of manual. I thought it would be some kind of, you know, manufacturer, you know, only type of thing. But I get it. People are going to have to do, you know, car audio people are going to have to be able to do this stuff. So you have to have the manual available in some way. And apparently it's not cheap to have the real manual, much less the digital form. And there's some places you can get them out there for free on the website. And he had posted where to download it. But anyways, so I had my plus and I had my minus. But before then, I was doing all this wiring and I was like, all right, well, I've reached the stopping point. I've got my left and right side. I need to wait and figure out which is plus, because I don't want to have to guess and then have to rewire and twist wires and untwist and twist. And the more you're back there, the more you're futzing around, the more whatever. So I need to wait to see if I can get some help from my dad or somebody that knows about car audio or the forms. So before then, before I got the answer to my post about the plus sign, I started to put it back all together, and everything seemed upset. I did find the ECU, which is like the computer, and I figured out that fairly quickly, because when I unplugged it, the car would go all crazy, and it would, like when I was running it, the idle would jump up and down, and it would still kind of run, and I think I could put it in gear and everything, but it would act really, really, really weird at idle. So eventually I figured out that was the ECU, and I figured out, you know, the stereo and where most of the inputs were and went. So I plugged everything back in and left everything kind of hanging there, and my car starts acting weird, and this is like late night, like 11 o'clock at night, finally getting all this stuff plugged back in, and it's acting weird. I can't figure out what's going on. It's like not turning on, the stereo is not working at all. An indicator for me when I knew the stereo was working is that when I plugged it in, I would hear the ejection sound of the CD-ROM thing. Like if you kids know what a CD-ROM is, my car has a CD-ROM player or CD player, and when you plug in the stereo for the first time, you hear a and it's trying to eject whatever's in there by default. So I didn't hear that. I didn't have any of the dash stuff. Nothing was lit up. Something else didn't work. The computer, the front panel on the dash was not lit up. Something was obviously like really angry. So I look, and you know, I seem to remember, you know, and generally the fuse box is to the left of the steering wheel, under there and whatever. And I look, and there's like a little thing where I can shove my key in. There's like, you know, a little flap door and the hood release, and I can't find the fuses. So I proceed to go to the front of the car, and I see like some big fuses and a few small fuses, and I said, well, I don't see anything in here that looks like it's blown. I looked at a couple of fuses, and there was only like a few in there, and I knew in the back of my head, I figured I had probably blown a fuse. But I looked and I didn't see anything. I was like, man, I've like cooked my computer. I've done something wrong. And I realized that I had plugged in something wrong, and it's apparently not idiot proof the way my car wires were set up. So there were three harness cables that were the same, plugs that were the same, and then there was two that were the same. So I had three sets of the same plug and two sets of the same plug. So if you plugged them in the wrong order, and that was what I was wondering when I put it back together, I was like, man, this wire will not reach at all. I don't know how I got this part to plug back in. Like this doesn't seem right. I can't even plug this in. Like physically can't get it there. There's nothing, no way to whatever. And that's when I realized something was really wrong after everything was cooked. So I look and I start pulling out relays, and I look at the picture, and I was like, I don't know what this is, but this is not a fuse. And I later realized that it's a relay that I was futzing with. And I swapped relays. I said, maybe that's it. And like, this is a big, huge fuse thing. It's not, there's no way this is the little fuses like for the windshield wipers, all that crap. So, talking, and somebody said, oh, it's probably a fuse. And I said, well, I don't know where the whatever. And I Googled, of course, and I got the fuse. Location of the fuse thing, and it's under, way under there, and back in the back of my car. So I get to the fuse box for my car, and I swear I've been down there before to reset stuff if I've, you know, been working with my battery or something and had to swap a fuse out. And I've been down there before, but it's been probably 5 years or something, or I had seen it before. There were some spares in there, and I actually had to rob a fuse because I had blown 3 10-amp fuses. And plugging things in backwards and shorting things out probably. So I rob here to PayPal. There's a couple of spares in there. And I get the thing going again, and I said, look, let's make it a stopping point and just wait. That's when I did the post for the plus minus, and a day later I got my plus minus, and last night I was ready to plug it all in and get ready to go. So trying to think of any more troubleshooting stuff that I did. Take pictures along the way, obviously. If what ends up happening with me is that if you don't take pictures, you forget over time the order of kind of operations of how things were taken apart or put together. So you end up having to, you know, spend an extra 10 minutes taking it back apart and putting it back together. I had taken pictures, and then like I do sometimes, purge my pictures from my phone, and then I didn't have any pictures of what I was taking apart. So, anyways, as far as troubleshooting and things like that, I don't think there's anything else that I can think of, troubleshooting or figuring things out wise that I can help you guys with. You know, ohms meter, voltmeter, tone generator, so you can hunt for cables and not have to sit there and poke and prod every wire with a continuity tester, and you know, kind of test things out, measure twice, cut once type of thing. So last night I finally made the decision that I was gonna start cutting some wires. So I pulled out the individual wires for each side, the 4 cables that I was gonna pull, and I didn't bother pulling the ground, which I don't think I needed anyways, and pulled those out. At first I was gonna solder them in the car, and I said, you know what, that's not comfortable at all. Let me do this the right way. And I pulled out the actual pins, the individual female pins for each part of the harness, the 4 wires, and cut them halfway. You don't want to cut it too short on one end or short on the other one. You want to leave as much room as you can, so you want to kind of cut it in the middle. Whenever you cut wires, you want to cut them in the middle, because if you cut it too far on each end, you try to troubleshoot or splice back into the line, and you're totally screwed because there's nowhere to splice back into. So at this point, I've cut 4 wires, and I've got them ready to solder to the auxiliary port. And I had ordered a little auxiliary port that you drill like a hole in your chassis, drill a hole in your dash, and install an auxiliary port. So I had this little piece of plastic auxiliary port that looked kind of decent, and it didn't take up too much room. I had installed that, or I had that ready to go. And what I ended up doing was bringing it all inside and wiring it. Use lead solder. I just recently did a HPR on my little wiring issues and troubleshooting with that. I use lead-based solder now, and I got a nice soldering iron. I learned some tips from a guy down the street in my neighborhood. So anyways, I make that all nice and pretty. I solder the wires. I don't crimp them. Don't ever crimp anything in your car. Never crimp. No, don't do those stupid crimpy things. That's just not the way to do it. My wife had that problem in her head unit. She had swapped out a head unit, and I had to go back in there twice before I finally, at the end of the day, I had to re-solder all new wire in there for 4 leads, 4 or 5 leads, because there wasn't enough service service loop is what they call when you leave wire, enough wire for you to do work on. There was no room to do any work in there, so I had to create, you know, I had to drop more wire in there and extend the wires out. It was a mess. So don't ever use those crimpy things. They're garbage. They oxidize. And then when you get oxidation, then you're completely screwed. So soldered everything up. I used some nice shrink wire. Try not to use a lighter if you can. But it's because that direct heat. And I've even tried to use the little blowtorch ones. Those are still bad. You really want to get a heat gun. And it's funny. And I used to like say, I don't need a heat gun. I'll just use a torch or I'll use a lighter or whatever. I will tell you, since we got that heat gun, I have used it a lot more than I thought I would actually use a heat gun, to be honest. So the little heat guns are like hair dryers on crack, and they will burn you. And you just use a heat gun and you put it on the shrink wire, and it's the right way to do it. You can get little mini heat guns, but if you're going to get a heat gun, you might as well just get a big one so you can pull off like stickers and labels. It's great for linoleum if you're pulling up linoleum or some kind of gooey, nasty, sticky stuff that's a giant blob. You heat that thing up and it'll come right off. Whatever you're working on, it'll come right off. I have everything all nice and crimped and pretty and whatever. And I decide where I'm going to drill my hole. And I go back and forth. And I'm like, oh, I'll put it right here. And oh, there might not be enough clearance. There might need enough clearance over here. Well, I could put it over here. But then it would be kind of weird. Because like if my knee was in the way, it might clip the input. Well, I'll put it on the other side. Well, then somebody else might clip it. And there wasn't really a safe place to put. Because everything is so compact in these cars, right? There wasn't really a safe place besides like the rubbery part of the dash to put it in, and I didn't want to do that. So I ended up running it through the air intake, the filter for the air. So I ran the little auxiliary port there, plugged everything back in, and the audio is lower. It's the input coming from the satellite is kind of louder than a little bit louder than a traditional headphones, and I heard that online from at least one other person. Now if you want to get fancy, you can pick up 12 volts somewhere on the board or somewhere on the harness, wire that off, split that off, and get yourself a DAC or something like that to put in line with it. And had I not already been spent way too much time on it and really cared that much, I tested the audio before and it was loud enough for me, and I actually was in the car while it was all wired up, and I had the volume the loudest it was, and I had to turn it down because I couldn't listen to it that loud. So if you're going to go for like a high loud system, you're obviously going to want to put a DAC in there or some kind of little amp, a preamp, before it goes to the head unit. And if you're going to do all that, then you're going to replace the head unit anyways. So for my use case, I was just tired of having to worry about Bluetooth or any of that other crap, and I wanted an auxiliary port in my car, and damn it, I got one. So probably took me, I want to say, 5 hours total of work, and then another, I want to say, 5 hours of research and screaming. There was a couple of instances of screaming. Where, you know, I drop stuff or whatever. It's impossible to get back there in the trunk with the wrenches. But that's pretty much it. I ordered a fuse kit. The newer ones are the smaller fuses, so I gave some to my wife or whatever. And I like it. Listen to it here on the way to work. But what I'll say, what I did learn is, one, get your manual, the actual field manual, the service manual for your car, not the owner's manual. Get the factory manual and figure out your pinouts and figure out what your options are. Figure out what the model numbers of your things are and post online and or search and say, hey, I have a G37 2000 whatever. I want a whatever. And all of the other cars, I swear, every single other car had, the Infiniti cars had some kind of unit. The only thing mine had was a Bluetooth unit. One was like $700, the other was like $800. And I found another one that just straight up would like to hijack the video, and you just drop a like Raspberry Pi in there or whatever, and replace the onboard whatever with a mirror device or whatever. And I was like, I don't. That's just way overkill. I just want auxiliary input. I want decent quality audio coming out of my device and whatever. So that's pretty much it. I don't know what else I can tell you with. There's an old trick, because a lot of these cars have screws way down in the bottom, and when you drop them, God forbid you drop a screw behind your head unit or behind your inside of your car, because you'll never find it again. Or even a socket, if you have a socket set and you lose a socket back there or a bit. You want to do a little trick. Get a very strong magnet. You can get an old hard drive and get a whole old hard drive magnet. Or you can buy, Home Depot sells like high power magnets, which are great to play around with. Do not let your kids play with them. And you rake, you magnetize the screwdriver. And you rake it across the screwdriver and magnetize it. So that way, hopefully you're not using aluminum screws, but if they're magnetic, you can put the screw on there and it will stay on there. So as you're wiggling around and trying to screw inside of this deep, 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 deep hole, it's not gonna fall off and cause you to swear and cuss and lose your mind. That's one tip. Just take your time. You know, measure twice, cut once, take your time. If you're frustrated, come back to it. Try not to do it all in one go. And learn something. So I'll say I learned that. I learned to do, look for the manual. I learned, a little bit about how to trace wires a little bit more maybe, and a little bit that the cars nowadays are a lot easier to take apart. I feel like before, you know, you'd have to take your whole dash off, to like half of your dash off, just to get to the guts of the head unit. But now with these LCDs and smart whatevers, they make them so they're pretty easy to swap out. Anyways, don't take up any more of your time. Y'all have a good one. And if you've done anything and got anything interesting, feel free to record something and teach somebody something and provide some value to the community. Later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.